Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. As you know, we have been discussing every Tuesday from now until the end of May, we will be continuing with this topic. In June of 2023, this year, we will be doing an event for the whole month, the entire month of June. And that will be call-ins, emailing, letter writing, whatever it takes to demand justice in our penal system and in the communities. I want to let the advocates know something about the injustices that go on. Many of you already know about this. But sometimes advocates try to help one another when they are going through some kind of crisis as well. Because we know that many advocates also have loved ones inside, whether they're friends, family, you know, people they know or people their friends or family know. There was a situation that occurred, and it really brought things to light. And I want to explain with the injustices that go on in the prison, the penal system. This is a clear example of one. An advocate wanted to help another advocate. Now, we have to remember, when there are people in prison, there are people in prison for different sentencing, some for life, some not for life, some for long term, some for short term. There was an advocate not too long ago that was trying to help another advocate. And the other advocate had a loved one inside, incarcerated, and he was having medical problems. And we were not getting any justice in helping her. And so one of the advocates ended up emailing her the name of the regional director for WellPath. WellPath operates in 36 states for the penal system, the DOC. And there's been over 1,000 lawsuits. There's a lot going on with WellPath. But this advocate wanted to help this other advocate with her loved one. So she recommended that the advocate send a letter to the regional director of WellPath. She gave the advocate all the information, how to contact him and everything. So the advocate contacted the regional director of WellPath to get this individual's medical issue resolved. Well, this is where we go with the injustices that go on in the penal system. Because the regional director, I'm sure, in spite, out of spite, because he was embarrassed, that individual, when receiving that email, noticed that the email was also copied to numerous legislative members. And he responded to the individual, stating that he was going to look into it. He was going to get it taken care of. Unfortunately, the incarcerated individual, when having the surgery, they intentionally removed a lot of his parts in his body, resulting in permanent damage. And unfortunately, it made things worse, not only for the individual, but for his family. Now, this advocate thought she was doing something good. But one of the things we have to remember is some people are incarcerated serving a life sentences, while others, their loved ones will be out soon. The advocate that gave this advice to this woman, unfortunately, gave her the wrong advice because that woman's son was incarcerated and sentenced to life in prison, whereas the advocate that gave her this advice and recommendation, the instruction, her son was soon to be released. Now, we have an individual that's incarcerated for life and unable, really, to do much for himself. He was very active prior to this, and now he's permanently damaged. So when giving advice to other advocates, and for you advocates that are receiving this advice, consider the situation. The person that's giving you the advice, is her loved one serving the same sentence, or will he be out soon? The advice given, if permanent damage is done to your loved one, how is that going to react? Or how is that going to result in his life imprisonment without parole. It goes to show you that advocates can help or try to help one another, but they can also cause more problems. So we all have to think when receiving instructions from our fellow advocates, and our fellow advocates have to also consider when giving advice, how can this affect my fellow advocate and their loved ones? We also have to consider that the advice given to expedite something with contracted providers with the DOC around the country may not be the right thing to do, because we know there is so much injustice in the penal system, which also includes their contracted medical providers. And we have advocates in this country right now, even in Massachusetts, that are fighting to do away with contracted providers and have independent providers going into the prisons. Donna Winnett, founder of Families, Friends, and Individuals for the Mentally Ill, has been fighting hard to bring changes, to get the Department of Mental Health involved in the prison. We have tried to get American Psychological Association involved, but unfortunately, we can't even get them to come out and talk about their philosophy or their feelings towards mentally ill incarcerated. And when we talk about mentally ill in the prisons, we're not only talking about the severely mentally ill, we're talking about people who had psychological issues at the time of their crimes. We know sometimes in this country, there are people who have been violated as children, who have been abused as children, who grew up in areas of drug-infested cities. We know that they are being affected from their childhood on. We also know that many of them continue to try to do the right things. They try to better themselves. They try to do something that people are going to look at them and say, they made it. They did it. They succeeded. But there's also times when people from those areas that have been traumatically affected as children and adolescents, that cannot cope when something happens, when things continuously happen. And we know in this country, we have law enforcement, we have correctional officers, we have prison officials, we have people in society that are just cold-hearted, hateful, vengeful, retaliative. And so we have these young people that were traumatized as children and adolescents struggling to try to do the right thing when they also have to be put up against and subjected to abuses by the very people that we are all taught to respect, people in uniform, people in power and leadership. But sometimes people in leadership roles, people in power and people in uniforms take advantage. They take advantage of everyone that will allow them to take advantage of them. And this is why we have decided to have this event in June, for the entire month of June, to do mass callings, to do emails, mass letter writing to our legislative members, to the governors in every state, to Amnesty International, to ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union, to all kinds of politicians, but especially too, to the media, because we get so tired of listening to the media talk about these things that are happening. They're giving one-sided stories. They don't go into the prisons unless it's something that the prison, the DOC, is doing that might be good, which is very, very seldom. But the media has to stop reporting one-sided stories. It gives mixed messages. It makes individuals who are incarcerated look 10 times, 20 times, 30 times worse than they are. And granted, there are people in prison who have done terrific, horrific crimes, mutilations, serial killers, terrorists. But there's also people in prison who are in for offense. There are also people in for wrongful convictions. There are also people inside who were victims before becoming offenders. And then we look at gang members. We have gang members in the penal system who are overseeing the prisoners. We have gang members in law enforcement who are violently, brutally attacking individuals in the streets without a logical cause, just because they wear a uniform, just because they know they can get away with it, because they look at members of society as being fools. We can do anything we want. We've got the members of society behind us because they look at the ones in uniform. They don't look at us as criminals, when in fact, that's exactly what they are. And as I say all the time, there are good officials. There are good correctional officers. There are good police officers. But unfortunately, either they're too afraid to speak out about their corrupt peers, or they don't want to get involved. Many of you have heard on our radio shows, people like DJ Vodica, Donald J. Vodica, a 14-year veteran for one of the biggest prisons in California, who exposed his peers. Michael Johnson, lieutenant from the Montana DOC, Department of Corrections, who talked about the treatment in the prisons in Montana. These are heroes. When people talk about heroes, we only have one real hero, and that's the Most High. But when we talk about worldly heroes, these are the kind of heroes I respect and many others admire, because they come forth with the truth, even in spite of the fact that they may be putting themselves, and they have put themselves at risk of reporting this injustice. So we're going to be talking about this today, and I'm going to bring on Dorothy D'Agostino, because Dorothy has also been working with me and others to get this thing prepared for this upcoming event in June. And I ask that all of you, please, contact, when you get the contact information, the emails or phone numbers or websites or whatever, join, go to them, participate, because we all have a voice, but those inside, behind those bars, don't. So we have to advocate for them. And we also have to look at the injustices that go on in the prisons, where people want to do something productive while they are inside. And there are many who are being denied, deprived that opportunity, because if they cannot demonstrate that they're doing something positive, if and when they have an opportunity to go up for parole, they have nothing to show. Our legislative members know this. Our legislative members have been asked to contact the DOC many times on behalf of prisoners who are being denied that opportunity. They know, but there has been nothing that's been done about it. So we have to challenge our lawmakers to start looking into the prisons, as Families Against Mandatory Minimum have been trying to encourage all of us to do, is to challenge our lawmakers, our legislative members, to start going into the prisons at least once or twice a year to meet with the incarcerated, to get their side of the story, to get to know exactly what is needed in the criminal justice reform. The media has to be challenged to start going in and start getting the truth. We have a media today of young reporters that are not focused on the real issues. And when they get a little opportunity to spend weeks and months talking about the same old thing that has nothing to do with lives behind those walls, they don't do it. So this is going to be our thing in the month of June. We need to also look at abolishing or ending the death penalty, because that is no way to punish anyone who has committed a capital crime, a fatal crime. We don't punish people by doing the same thing that they have done. Find other ways. In other countries, the maximum sentencing that they have for any crime, except terrorism, serial killers, and mutilation, the maximum sentence is 25 years. However, in this country, everything is life and life without parole or death. Think about it, audience. Think about what we are making of ourselves. We're becoming the criminals that everybody fears in the communities, that everybody is made to fear in the communities. And it's happening, of course, now. There's a lot of crime out there. But then we have to look at what has happened in our country. We have our leaders failed, and now we are failing. So So let's bring on Dorothy D'Agostino so she can talk a little bit about what she's about and how she's trying to help make changes, positive changes, in the penal system. Dorothy, are you on with us?
Yes, I am, sweetie.
I am so happy to have you back.
Thank you. And I want to say what you have said is 100% correct. You nailed it completely. And I want to be just like you and work just as hard as you are. And I'm going to do it with you.
You have been, Dorothy. You have been.
I'm Dorothy Jean D'Agostino. I'm from Greenville, South Carolina. I have a son that is in Pennsylvania. He is doing life without parole. And remember, people, life without parole is a death sentence. And we have to change that ruling. New Jersey has life, and it's 25 years. But they don't honor it. They let the gentlemen and the ladies continue to keep in the prison system because of the money that they get from this. We have to end the death penalty roll. We have to end life sentences. We have to end mental situations in the prison system. They need to be taken care of. They need to be addressed. And I am on board for all those issues. I am not going to rest till I take my last breath. And that's not going to be soon. It's going to be a hell of a long time. So I'm going to be out there. They'll hear my name. And I don't give a damn what they think of me. I'm not here for popularity. I'm here to make changes. And I'm on board for June. I'm going to start writing legislators, your senators, your governors, and get them on board of the right issues that need to be addressed. Thank you for your time. And Leona, I am so proud to be with you.
I'm sorry, Dorothy, I was on mute and I was, I am so sorry. I want to thank you because you have been one of the most consistent advocates I have ever known. You have been faithful in coming on to talk about the event that's coming up. You have been faithful in doing a lot of the advocacy work that you're doing, and I appreciate you. I really do. I wish more people were like you. They talk, a lot of people talk about wanting to be a part of all of this, and yet I don't see them actually doing anything right now. A lot of them have talked about...
They talk the walk, but they don't do the walking.
Well, you know, I don't mind that, but I just don't want to hear them talking about what's going on in their lives if they can't do anything about it. You know, I want to say, too, there's a lot of people that they want to help, but when they find out that other people are doing it, they back away because they feel they don't have to do it. Everyone else is doing it. But if everyone else thinks the same way, then nobody's going to be doing anything. And that's what we have to remember.
We don't get anything done.
So I want to let everybody know, too, we're going to also be talking about in June the letter writing and everything, as Dorothy mentioned, to abolish the death penalty, abolish this life and life without parole, abolish the oversight, I mean, initiate and establish oversight of the officials and guards, the prison, the DOC itself, demand oversight. Because if nobody is overseeing, just like children, they go outside to play. No one's watching them. They get, unfortunately, they get abducted or something serious happens. So we have to have oversight of everything. And many of you advocates out there, you know this. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't be an advocate advocating for the injustices going on if you weren't overseeing what was going on. We have to demand that the media get more involved instead of reporting one-sided stories. They need to report both sides. And as they say, it's always been a saying, there's always two sides and sometimes even three sides to every story. People tend to listen to one side and make judgment. And this is something that we want to stop. So restoration of citizens of the United States, restoration of the prisoners' votes, rights to vote. because they should never in the first place have had their right citizenship, rights to vote taken from them. Vermont doesn't take it. Maine has not taken it. The prisoners have never lost their right to vote because they are U.S. citizens, and their offenses, their crimes had nothing to do with the country. And unfortunately, those that have violated and tried to destroy this country, I call it domestic terrorism, they haven't had their rights taken from them. They haven't even served more than 2 years or 3 years or 4 years in prison. So we need to start looking at some of these things. Now, I've had people contacting me that want to be getting involved from California and also from the Midwest. I got a couple of messages in my message on Facebook from some people that want to join forces, join with us on this event. But there are also going to be other things going on in the month of June with other groups and advocates about injustices. But we are going to be focusing on the letter writing, on the emails, and on the call-ins, which allows everybody and anybody to participate without even having to leave their homes. All they need to do is take the numbers or the email addresses or the snail mail addresses that we will be distributing throughout Facebook, throughout everything. Take it, put it in your files until June. Pull it out, and there's the numbers, the addresses. Everything you need is right there. We will be also including the issues that we are demanding or that we are asking to be resolved. And again, as Dorothy said, ending life, life without parole, ending the death penalty, putting in independent providers like DMH, Department of Mental Health, because again, we have people in prison who are mentally ill, severely mentally ill. We have people in prison that are psychologically ill and that were seriously psychologically ill at the time of their crime. Then we have people, as I started to say, gang members. These are youth that are out there in the streets that have no father, no siblings, nobody to support them. We have pastors and priests and all these big shots that have the cloth, as they say, on, talking about these thugs instead of going out in the streets. You know, when we talk about preaching, these pastors and priests, they should be out there doing exactly that, not on television getting all this money, not preaching in the church to the choir, because that's what it is, preaching to the same people every single Sunday. Get out there in the communities and find the people that are lost, the sheep that are lost. Go out there in the communities and talk to them. Let them know that God is with them, because all they're seeing is God has left them. Who cares about me? Nobody cares about me. Who's out there for me? That's what they think. So when they go looking for that support, what are they finding out there? They're finding people like themselves, youth like themselves that are lost, that don't know which way to turn, that don't have any role models to look up to. And they have all this frustration and anger in them. So what do? They go out in groups and they let it all out. Unfortunately, it turns into serious crimes. And look at us. Look at us as advocates, many advocates who have loved ones inside. We get frustrated because we're trying to help everyone's children. We're trying to help everyone's loved one, and yet not able to get help for our own. These are things that we have to look at. People would look at us and say, oh, that person's crazy. They're crazy. They're always out there trying to get help. Yes, we're trying to get help because we're not getting it in the first place. And then when we do get it, when people get help, sometimes they get it from the wrong advocacy, I would say, intentions. Listening to advocates telling you to write to the contracted medical providers of the prisons, and when you write to them, copy to all these legislative members. So these people, this regional director, will be embarrassed into doing something. Yes, he did. We know there's corruption in the prisons, and yes, he did do something, intentionally destroyed somebody as a way to get back at being embarrassed in this email going out to politicians as well. What did it do? The politicians didn't act on it. The medical provider, the regional director did. And unfortunately, it turned out to be severe damage, crippling somebody intentionally. So we as advocates, when we talk about sticking together, we have to stick together. And when we try to help another advocate, we have to look at all the angles. Is this person that I'm advising her to contact, instructing, or whatever, is this person serving a life sentence? Will they be out soon? Think about it. We have to think about it. We cannot instruct or help our advocates, our fellow advocates. If we have loved ones that are coming out next week or in a year or two, and their loved one's going to be inside for the rest of his life, according to man, think about the damage that we may cause somebody else's loved one. Think about the injustices that we're fighting against in the penal system and how the penal system is so corrupt. This is a pure example of something like that. Dorothy, do you want to give the audience your information so they can, if they would like to join, would like to connect with us, if they can have a contact information?
Sure. And let's not forget about our meeting tonight, Leona.
Oh, yes. We also have another meeting coming up tonight at 6:30 Eastern Time. We will be talking more on these issues and others, and hopefully we'll be having others coming on as well. Thank you for reminding me, Dorothy.
Josie will be connecting with us. And so I gave her the telephone number to chime in at 6:30.
Terrific.
So we will be looking for her. And we will, with her adding on to us, she will also get people to chime in. Did you want me to say?
Can you let the audience know, Josie?
Yes. Josie is from Pennsylvania, and she goes with my son, and she is working on change. And her last name is Polish, and I can't even pronounce it.
You don't have to pronounce it. You don't have to say her last name. I just wanted the audience to know who else will be joining later on. We have Reginald Clemens from Missouri, a wrongfully convicted individual who is in prison. They do a show on Monday. I believe it's at 12 o'clock. But Reginald Clemens from Missouri has been serving a life sentence, but he went in when he was in his youth on a wrongful conviction, and he is now heading towards 50. He's close to 50. And he's been in all this time on a wrongful conviction. And as I mentioned before, too, and Beth Michaels from the Christian Pen Pal Connection will be coming on with us at some point, too. She's been an advocate for many years and advocating for the incarcerated men and women in the Christian Pen Pal. But she and her husband had more or less taken in as a son, Christopher Dunn out of Missouri. Christopher Dunn went in when he was a youth. He's been in all these years, even though a judge found him innocent years and years ago. You can find Christopher Dunn on the internet. If you just type in Christopher Dunn, wrongfully convicted, you'll see that a judge actually found him innocent. These are some of the injustices that go on in the penal system. A lot of people think that their state is the only state that has this kind of injustice, when in fact, every single state in the United States has this problem. Every single state has the problem, but every single government in every single state operates differently. Some are for criminal justice reform. Some are for even more harsh penalties, including and especially the death penalty. What does that tell us about our government leaders who are for the death penalty? What does it tell you about these friends and family members that seek the worst, harshest pain, sorrow, and suffering of an individual who has committed a crime? Many of them say if they could get their hands on that person, they would kill them. Well, maybe that person that actually did a killing felt the same way because they lost somebody that they loved or they were given injustices. They were tormented or tortured, and they went out and they did the same thing that was done to them or their loved ones. So people in society that has this mentality, you have to look at it this way. If they had that kind of thought, that even if a person is going to be sentenced to prison, that's not enough for them. They want that person dead. That goes to show you the people in prison and people in the communities, many of them are exactly alike. They're trying to do away with somebody that has done away with someone that they loved or done away with them or their friends. And many people in society today, men are taught not to cry. So when the media says, when they are in court, they show no emotions. The media doesn't know what they're talking about. Because cultures, men, women, everyone is different. Every culture shows different types of emotions. Mostly every man has been taught not to cry. They're supposed to be strong. They're supposed to be different than the women. So they hold it in, which is even more important for people to know. These men, a lot of them, are holding in this pain. They're afraid to cry because they're not supposed to. They don't feel like they're a man if they cry. Well, I say that's a crock of bull. Men should be able to express their feelings in any way, including tears. So, Dorothy, I'm going to let you pick up on this. Anything you want to say, because we need to get the audience to actually start looking at some of these things, observing it and absorbing it and joining. And I hope
right.
they will.
Okay. Thank you, Leona. I'd like to give you my address and my email and also my telephone number if anyone would like to connect with me. I will be there for them and we can all work together and let's get on this train of freedom and change the laws. Let's get rid of some of the governors like Governor Abbott in Texas that believes in the death penalty and has put over 63 men in Texas on that gurney. Let's change what is happening. He has no compassion. He has nothing. All he believes in is putting them to death. And he just did one last week, and he's done since January approximately 10 that he has put on the gurney. And once you're dead, you cannot bring them back to life when they find out they did the wrong thing. So let's think of what is occurring with our governors, and let's change this system for the wrongdoings that is happening. You can reach me at DJean, that's J-E-A-N, Angel, A-N-G-E-L, 04 at yahoo.com. You can call me at 215-850-0095. Anytime you can call me, we can discuss things, we can go forward, we can do writing, we can reach out, and let's give this June a remarkable please. Thank you. Angels be with everyone. And all have a blessed day. And let's get on board. Let's all get together and work together.
Thank you, Dorothy.
We can do it as a party. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorothy. We have a call, 605.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, what's I just joined. I'm not sure what your topic is.
Well, our topic is, and it's been going on every Tuesday, and it will be going on until the end of May, that in June of this year, 2023, every single day in the month, we are going to be doing mass calls, mass emails, mass letter writings to our legislative members, to the media, to the governors in every state to abolish the death penalty, abolish or end life and life without parole, because we're the only country that is so ignorant that believes in life and life without parole sentencing for the wrongfully convicted first-time offenders and those who were victims before becoming offenders. We're the only country in the world that has mass incarceration. We're the only country in the world that has not the only country, but on the list of many, of very few countries, human rights violations. So what we're talking about is getting people to join forces for the entire month of June to do mass calls, emails, letter writing, and some, I guess, in some states, they're going to be protesting. And I don't know if you, the natives, are going to be joining us or if you're going to be doing something separately, but please feel free to join.
I have the natives, huh? I like all the people.
Uh-huh.
Again, it's really good. I really admire that, you know, that camaraderie of accountability. But, you know, and I know for me, I'd be wasting my time with these guys in South Dakota. It's very conservative, staunch Republican states right state and a right to work state, essentially crimes against humanity policies. And before you can address all those ones in it and what's going on in all the cities and states and counties and communities across stolen land, you can't overlap a human right violation with another human right violation. You have to address the first ones, the first right of passage of people who were here long before this stolen country called America was named. And before you address any of those human rights violations, it has to be addressed on what's going on today, right now, Indian country, indigenous country.
You know,
country.
I want to say one thing before you go any further. One of the things is, when we're focusing on certain things, we have opportunities on another time to do another show on the issues of these things. Now, I'm going to tell you right now from your own peer, Chinupa, there have been a lot of Native Indians that have been incarcerated, that have been treated as bad as a lot of them are treated now, other of all races. So right now, our focus is on the injustices going on in the penal system, the injustices going on in the sentencing, the injustices going on in the abuses, violations, deprivations, provocations, all these things that are going on in the prison. This is what we're addressing in this show today. So if you want, we can schedule another show to talk about the land that was stolen from the natives. But I want to say something else to you, if you don't mind. You know, there's Jamaicans who live in Jamaica. There's Ghanaians that live in Ghana. There's Guyanese that live in Guyana. There's Colombians that live in Colombia. There's Brazilians that live in Brazil. This is their territory. People go to their countries to visit, to enjoy themselves, to vacation. Well, that's what we have here in the United States. It was the natives that had the country at the time, the country for people that could come visit. But instead, people came and decided.
We still do, and right. We're forcefully occupied.
What I'm saying, though, if these people come over here and they not only come to enjoy the land, but they decide to take over the land. But it doesn't mean that anybody has the right to any land because it was created by the Most High. So what we need to do is we need to get back our cultures and we need to get back our land that where people can come and enjoy themselves and learn about the natives as they learn about the Jamaicans, as they learn about the Ghanaians, as they learn about the Guyanese, as they learn about the Brazilians.
Well, we could do all of that if they would stop forcing us to speak English, Stop forcing us to live like a white man or a black man or an Asian man or a Hispanic man. Fuck, I'm not none of them. I'm a Lakota. And
okay,
I should have every right under the human rights denial to be able to express myself in Lakota. And this is my land. I didn't jump in a boat and go overseas and find another home somewhere else. I'm in my ancestral homeland. I'm being forcefully occupied by an invasive species who's continuing to alter my language and alter my culture on my land. And I can't even enjoy my own life on my own land without having to be encroached upon by this invasive species who claims to be they're entitled to it when they're not.
But what you're talking about is the same thing that we're all talking about right now and coming together, because it's the government. It's the government that's controlling everything.
You couldn't have the government account for itself, because it can't even wipe its own ass. You have to have the world communities, the world governments hold the United States accountable. Because right now, they never started it. But you know what? The United States, in the last 530 freaking years since they've been here, they perfected it. And now they leave the industrial nation around the world on how to strip their human rights of every indigenous person in their community.
Leona, we're getting off track.
Yeah, I want to say one thing. I just learned that Ben Crump, the attorney for George Floyd and all of them, I just learned that he's taken this last one that was killed by the five black cops. Anyway, he's taking it to the United Nations. Now, my friend that's on the phone on the show with us right now, 605, I want you to know one thing. We're not going to talking about things is not going to solve things. You know what? We're going to be talking about a lot of issues in the month of June. It's an opportunity for the Lakotas to join and talk about their issues at their point in time. Make the same calls, do the same letter writing protest if you want, do whatever you want. But come together. Let's focus on what we're going to do in June, not what's happened in the past. We have Black Lives Matter that focuses on the black, retribution and all this. I understand. We have the Native Indians that are talking about the damage that was done to them and their land. I understand. But if we keep focusing on what happened instead of what we're going to do about it, we'll never get anything done. So we can either focus on what we're talking about right now, how we're going to go about it, getting people involved, getting people to start doing these things, and that way we can get something accomplished. That's all I can say. So
okay.
I'm going to let Dorothy and I'm going to, what's your first name?
Zintkala Ovitika.
Okay, I'm going to let you go. I'm putting myself on mute. You can run the show for the next few minutes. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about and the injustices that you're going through. I'm going to put myself on mute.
I'm going to listen. I'm just going to listen.
Tonight. Thank you.
And unfortunately, these are the things that happened to cause division, to cause nothing to get done. Everybody's so frustrated in this country because so many different things are going on and nothing's getting resolved. It's like I say with the youth that are out there. They're trying to find some support. They're trying to find support amongst their peers. They're trying to find support with role models. They're not getting it. So what happens? They end up joining forces and becoming gangs. And that's where crime comes in. Now, you just heard our friend from the Lakotas talking about their injustices that they feel that they've been deprived of. We talk about Black Lives Matter when they feel Black Lives Matter is important as well, because going all the way back to our ancestors, there's been a lot of damage done. But we don't get anything done if we don't come together in unity to fight these injustices. And we can do it in a lot more appropriate way if we unite with all races, especially those who understand what we have all gone through, those who understand the criminal justice or injustices in this country. They want to work with us. We want to work with them so we can get something done. We can go on for the next 20 years if this country or this world lasts that long. We can go on for the next 20 years talking about what was, what didn't happen, what's being undone or what's being done, the injustices going on in the penal system, the crime going on in the street, the media who only reports one-sided stories, judges, corrupt, lawyers, corrupt, police officers, abusive, violent, criminal, We need to start looking at change. I am sick of hearing people talking about what was or what can't be. What can't be? Who knows what can't be? Put your faith in a higher power, the Most High. Put your faith in what you know can be done if everybody that is for the justice and to do away with the injustices comes together. I don't know if it's just me or if it's Dorothy. I don't know. If we're crazy.
No, it's not just you.
This
I want
me,
to go forward. We can't go backwards.
This makes me wonder exactly who our advocates. It makes me wonder exactly who are these family members who have loved ones inside and don't even take the initiative to ask questions, to join groups for change. I see them on Facebook all the time crying about themselves. But what about your loved ones? You know, when I think about these people in prison, and that's why I started helping all prisoners, not just my own, but all prisoners. Because I see that so many don't even care if they come out of prison because they have nothing to come out to. A mother I remember seeing on Facebook talking about she was glad her son was inside because he wasn't doing drugs. Well, where in the heck do you think the drugs are coming from, lady? You know, you go on the internet, you type in drugs smuggled in by guards. This woman had the nerve to say she was glad her son was in because he wouldn't be into drugs. Well, if that's the way she felt, I have a petition out there with change.org to abolish prisons, replace prisons with long-term residential treatment facilities. Get them in these mental health facilities. Get them in these substance abuse facilities. It doesn't have to be for 1 or 2 years. It could be for 5 or 10. But at least they're getting professional help, experience, with people that have the experience. It's so ridiculous because it's almost like people in America, and I hate to say it, I was born and raised in America. I worked for the government at one time. I'll tell you, people in this country are so childish. They have so much to say. They have so quickly can turn against another advocate for so many stupid reasons, like little kids and other advocates, because one advocate is a little bit up there in the media. They're going to stick together with the other advocate that they know is wrong, but yet they feel like they can fit in and they're going to look good to society. Well, if that's the way you are, that's a needy. That's an insecure individual or insecure advocate. But for you family members that have loved ones inside and you don't want to get involved because you think everybody else is going to do your dirty work, that's crazy. There's a prisoner. He called me through his mother. His mother called me and he was on the other phone asking for help. I went for hours. I did all this research. I was sending his mother all this information he needed. He called me about a week ago, and he said his mother never sent it. Could I send it directly to him? I spent the other day over 200 pages printing them out to send to him personally. I don't get paid for my services. We don't get funding for this organization or the radio. And I spent this. His mother could have printed that out and sent it to her own son. Sent it to her own son. He said she never sent it. So I asked her, I said, do you still have it in the emails that I sent to you? She looked it up and she said, yes. I said, can you send it to me so I can print it out and send it to him? This is the mother of an incarcerated individual who will be coming out next year. While some of us have loved ones serving life and life without sentences for first-time offenses at a time when they had mental health issues. And here you've got somebody coming out next year, and the mother can't even send him resources, print it out and send it to him, that some other person's mother spent hours researching, printing out, and mailing. So let's get with it, everybody. Let's get serious. If you really care about your loved one, try to appreciate what other people are trying to do for your loved one and try to do for them and try to do for your loved one as well. Now, Dorothy's been coming on these last few weeks. She's been coming on faithfully every week. She has a loved one inside. Now, Dorothy, you can tell people about what your son Shane has been up to, because this is what happens when a prisoner has somebody on their side from the very beginning. This is how positive things happen.
Thank you, Leona. My son has been incarcerated for 25 years. He may be inside. I'm outside in prison. I have done every day, morning, noon, and night with my son behind bars. I am so damn proud of my son, Shane. He has accomplished a degree in criminal justice, criminal law, from inside the wall. He's also working with mental people that have problems inside the wall. When there is dirty water inside the wall, I'm outside and I corrected it so they have clean water. And hurt to help. Everyone should help. I have a loved one, but my loved one isn't alone. He has me. But I also work for the others that are in there that aren't any part of my life, but they are in my life to help and abolish the mental illness and the abuse and the things they go through daily, the horrible food, raw chicken. What the hell are they supposed to eat? Raw chicken? We don't eat that out here. Let's think, people. Let's all stick together. Let's go forward. The hell with going backwards. We need to go forward. And I am very, very proud of my son, Shane. He is 52 years old, and he has accomplished so much. And he respects his peers, and the peers respect him. That's what you have to have, respect. Thank you, Leona.
Thank you, Dorothy. That's what it is. That's what people in prison, they're anxious to do something when they have support behind them. And fortunately, some people have that opportunity because they have their loved ones, their mothers, their fathers, their wives, their husbands, whatever the case may be. They have them supporting them from the beginning, not just when they go to prison, but from the very beginning. How many families are out there that had so much pride for their loved one when their loved one was free, doing well in the communities, and ended up in prison for whatever the case may be? How many of you were so proud before then, and how many of you have backed away since? Brothers, sisters, cousins, nieces, nephews, mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, grandparents. This is why we have a lot of people committing crimes. This is why we have a lot of people that don't want to come out of prison. This is why we have a lot of people committing suicide in prison. Support your loved ones. Support your loved ones. Give them something to hope for.
Leona, can I say one more thing?
Please.
I was on Facebook, and I was totally disgusted. There are people out there advertising K2 stamps, K2 envelopes, K2 writing paper to send to your loved ones in prison. What the hell? They don't need it. They need rehabilitation, not to continue the problem that is going on. And that is on Facebook, where you can buy it and send it in. This is absolutely ridiculous. I was sick when I was reading that. So it's right out there on Facebook that you can send to your loved ones. They don't need it. Delete it.
You know, it's sad because sometimes we think about the things that we did for our own families, our brothers and sisters, our mothers, our fathers, our cousins. We did so much for them. And this is so sad when, because of their pride, they don't want to get involved. They go the opposite way, or they just pretend the person never existed, the family member that's incarcerated never existed. You can't do that. Like I tell everybody, and I've said this on Facebook many times, man can fool man. We can fool one another. But we can't fool God, because a lot of people don't realize God is a living being. Because we can't see him doesn't mean he's not there. He doesn't see us. He doesn't know what's going on. He sees all injustices. And it says in the Bible, signs of the times. People are not looking for those signs of the times. I see it. And a lot of people that are atheists, they see that something is going on that's not right. So when people talk about 5 years from today, 10 years from today, that's not going to happen. This earth is doomed, and it's going to be a very short time before we're going to all have to go before somebody, some higher power. Try to explain it to them. Try to explain it to the Most High, why you left your families hanging, why you judge people unfairly when you are a sinner as well. You know, people don't realize this. A lot of people have gotten away with their sin or their crimes, so they think. But when somebody ends up in prison, they don't try to find out why, what caused them to stumble. They automatically judge that person or that person's family, when in fact it could be the opposite side that they need to check into. But again, we're going to be airing again at 6:30 this evening for all of you and any of you that want to join us. I hope that you will, because there's a lot to be talked about. There's a lot to be done. There's going to be a lot going on in the month of June, and I'm hoping that many of you will join. If you really, really believe there's injustices in this country, I'm sure that those of you who really, really believe it and want to see change will join us. For those of you who want to continue to talk and expect everyone else to do the dirty work of fighting injustices, I guess there's not much we can do about it. Everybody is too busy for so many things. But the one thing we have to remember is we're fighting for lives. We're fighting for the minds of mankind. Those unfortunate behind those prison walls. We talk about injustices in this country, but yet everybody's going, all these leaders going to other countries to see how they operate. To see how they operate, to try to tell them how to run their countries, when in fact our country is in great need of rehabilitation, of reform, and of change, positive change, not the negative that we've been living in all these years. Now, we have another caller, 314. Do you want to state your name, please?
Yeah, my name is Mr. Bianchi. You know, I agree with you. There needs to be some changes.
Definitely.
You got prosecutors that won't prosecute. You got prosecutors that tell the police that if they look like they need what they stole, don't write them up. And you got groups that want to do away with the police, reform the police, and all of those kind of things.
Well, the police do need to be reformed.
That's up to the community to reform.
They need to.
If that community likes their policing. If that community likes what the policing that they have, that's up to the community. Federal government has no control over local police.
You know,
so
I was going to say the union is a powerful union. Both the police, the law enforcement union, and the guards union, they're so powerful, and this is where they need to be defunded. Because as long as all this money, taxpayers' dollars, are going into all of these big corporations, these big unions, nothing, people are going to be too afraid to go up against them.
Taxpayers' dollars don't fund unions. The members fund the union. And if that's the case, the teachers' unions need to be done away with also. That's why your kids not being educated in these government schools. The teachers' unions are who they are. When you try to effect change from the grassroots, oh, they fight against it. So, no, I think that I understand the person is locked up. What about the victim? What do they got to say about that?
Well, you know what? When I talk about victims, this is why I say it all the time. People talk about victims, but they don't talk about the victims behind the prison walls. A lot of people are in prison because they were victims, and they were violated, and they were abused, and they were beaten. So there's victims in and out of the penal system. That's why I say when the media reports the stories, they need to report both sides, not one side, because we have a lot of victims in the prison. And we have prison victims on the outside that became victims, a lot of them, unfortunately, doing absolutely nothing to warrant the damage or the traumatic experience. But we also have to look at those on the outside that caused their own.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But I have no control how a family raised their child. You
exactly.
hear these things all the time. My child, my choice. My body, my choice. Then when something go wrong, the victim, the person who had no control over the upbringing of a child, then they want to be looked at to pay for something that's out of the unusual. It just
don't
work that way.
As a social worker for many years, I had a client one time, not mentioning names, but she was the daughter of a police officer. And her mother unfortunately passed away when she was a child, but she was raised in a way where she would go out with these men, and if they didn't do the things that she wanted them to do, she would cry rape. And, I mean, this is a child, an adolescent, that used to talk to me about these things. And I brought it up to her father, and her father said, you know, you have to ignore her. Jennifer, you know, she does these things and she says these things. But the thing is, her father understood. But what happens when you don't get your way and you cry rape? A lot of times men for things like that. But
she's
that's
making,
not,
she's making a false accusation. She needs
exactly.
to be locked up.
And this is why I say there's a lot of people that are locked up for wrongful reasons. And there's a lot of people out in the communities. Look at that Michelle Carter, or what's her name, Michelle Carter, that talked her boyfriend into committing suicide. So she went to prison for a year, I think it was, or 15 months. But the thing is, there's a lot of Michelle Carters out there that people don't know about. They give mixed messages to these men that they're seeing. There was one girl, she wanted her boyfriend to quit college in his last year of college and move to Florida with her, where her father lived. Her mother and father were divorced. Her father, she said, was a racist. Her family was racist. But yet she wanted this man who was of color that she was seeing to quit college in his last year of college and move to Florida with her, where her father lived. You know, she had this
well,
man.
Well, what about the people? What about the people that suffer from diseases and pain and they want to die? And when you have a doctor that want to assist them in suicide or relieving themselves, they want to lock the doctor up.
Exactly.
If you got somebody up on the bridge that want to jump off and kill themselves, people standing on the ground watching, now they want to charge them and say they didn't do nothing. That's ridiculous.
This is why I say there's so many injustices. And the event that's coming up in June is to address all of them. People can call in. They don't have to call in on what we're calling in on. They can call on any injustices that they see going on in this country. This is what it's all about, everybody coming together and bringing awareness to the governors, to the legislative members, to the media, to all these people to do away with this injustice that's going on, regardless of what it might be. We're all coming together for these people.
I don't know, ma'am. You know, crime is completely out of control. In Chicago, you have over 4,000, close to 5,000 people shot by other people. In this case, it's black. No police shooting anybody. And the mayor issues a statement to the police that they're not supposed to pursue people on foot. And, you know, I asked, well, what about the police dog? They not supposed to run after a potential criminal, too? So things are all messed up. I agree with you. Where's it going to end? I don't know.
I agree with you, too. I'm going to say something. Years ago, I don't know if you remember, but years ago, when the police had to confront somebody that was violent, they would shoot them in the leg or they would shoot them in the hand. They didn't have to automatically shoot them on sight. And this is what we're seeing a lot of now. We're seeing a lot of untrained, unprofessional, and also aggressive bullies in uniform that are automatically killing somebody without even a second thought.
Yeah,
when I was growing up, the police, a lot of them, were a little bit more respectful. They didn't kill as much as they're killing now. Now, you mentioned a lot of the crime going on, and you're right. Crime is on the rise again. But look at these people who went into prison when they were like in their 19, 18, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, and look at them. They've been in for 30, 40, 50 years. Some of them are in wheelchairs.
Well, when you were growing up, did your parents teach you to respect authority?
Yeah.
I mean, you had to respect it at the house. Okay,
yeah.
Well, what you got today is you got a culture of people. You got a culture of people that don't respect authority. They don't respect authority at home. They don't respect authority when they go to school. And, of course, when they're out in the streets, they don't respect authority to those who are given the right to enfect authority on them, and that's police. So you got a big problem.
I got to tell you on that, this is, I'm glad you said this because this is something I used to say all the time. Do you notice a lot of people, when they got pregnant and had children, they were like 18, 19 years of age. Then you started seeing a population of 14 and 15-year-old girls getting pregnant. They were trying to get pregnant or they got pregnant so they could win over their boyfriends. And their boyfriends would walk the other way when they got pregnant. So you had a lot of young mothers who had children. The children looked to their mothers now, I'm sure, and even back then, as friends more than mother because they were only like 14, 15 years apart. So what happened?
I agree with you in that case. You got two
mothers,
people that came from dysfunctional families, dysfunctional upbringing, and when you put those two combinations together, no telling what you end up with.
Exactly.
Did you advertise a person by the name of Reginald on your? I've seen that name someplace. Clemens.
Reginald Clemens. Yeah, and also.
Is he out of St. Louis?
Yeah, and also Christopher.
On the Chain of Rock Bridge.
I don't know that part. I'm not familiar enough with. Do you know Madeline Colburn?
I know Reginald. If he's the same person where him and some other was on the Chain of Rock Bridge, and this white girl ended up getting thrown in the river, and things went. I know his mother, and his father, and they've been working for a long time to get some reprieve on his case. And his mother's name is Vera Clemens. So I was just wondering if this is the same person. But anyway,
yeah.
I hope everything goes well.
Madeline Colburn ran for governor in 2008. And as a matter of fact, they had her listed as deceased for so many years. She finally went back to her maiden name. But Madeline Colburn is a reverend, and she's also a chaplain at the Missouri prison. She's out of Missouri. I don't know if you know her.
Yeah, I know her.
Yeah, she's been in there.
We knew her as Vera, V-E-R-A.
Well, she's not
her husband.
Madeline is not Reginald Clemens' mother. That's his advocate.
Oh, okay. Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry. All right, I understand now.
But again, as I was saying, and Dorothy, you started to say something too. I'm sorry. What was that?
Oh, the gentleman was talking. When you have no respect, the parents have no respect, the children have no respect, you have dysfunctional families.
Yeah.
And that is a shame, and it comes to a disaster.
Ma'am, you're absolutely right. And I don't know, I demanded and received respect with my siblings. It's just a problem. I don't know if you're going to have to outgrow it or what the heck, but it is a big, major problem.
Well, you know what I'm going to say real quick, too, is a lot of these people from these prominent backgrounds, too, a lot of them, they talk trash because they know they can get away with it. There's been a lot of these women and men, I'm sure, they get into relationships that they try to, they're narcissists. There's people that come from prominent backgrounds that are narcissistic, and I'm not saying just from prominent backgrounds, but there's a lot of people that think they can get away with talking trash. I remember one time I had to talk to my own loved one to talk to somebody he was involved with because she was using all this vulgar language around me. You know, this girl came to my home. She took a shower. I'm in the living room talking to one of my colleagues from my job, and she comes out with a towel wrapped around her, sits on the chair and is brushing her long, stringy blonde hair on my royal blue carpet. So I asked her not to do that. So she got up. She started to walk away. She had a towel wrapped around her. She called my name. When I looked up, she dropped the towel. I saw her bare behind. My guest did as well. But this is why I say sometimes people don't see both sides to every story. This girl is the same girl that wanted somebody to move to Florida with her, where her father was racist. Why would you want somebody to give up their last year of college, quit their college, move down to Florida where she wants them to go, where her racist father lives? You know, these are things that people don't understand. That's why I say the media needs to go into the prison. And
the media the media is bad. But you know something else, too? You got some families that sacrificing their black sheep in the family to get killed by police so they can collect settlement. Believe it or not, they are.
I've heard that.
It could be.
It's
unbelievable.
True.
That's why I say this.
The only thing you can do is keep doing what you're doing. You feel that that's the least that you can do, and pray. And I hope everything works out fine. You know, that's about all I can tell you. I don't know.
You know what I want to say as well before you go or anybody? I want to say one thing. Again, we talk about our young youth and no role models. I know a lot of people like rap. Okay, rap is fine if that's what you like. But then again, look at the way the people dress with their pants hanging down and their behind, you know, with all this a lot of times rap has a lot of vulgar language in it. And this is what the kids are picking up. You know, when I was in Ghana, West Africa, I'm going to tell you, there were these two kids. They were adolescents that were talking back and forth to one another, effing this and effing that, fuck you, all this stuff. And I said to them, what are you doing? And they said, that's the way they talk in America. I said, yes, they might talk that way in America, but I said, people don't respect them because they use that language. But people in other countries look up to the people in this country. The adolescents want to dress like the ones that dress in this country. You know, a lot of changes are being made in other countries, and a lot of it's being made accordingly. But then again, a lot of it's being made by youth that are looking at the youth in our country. Now, if you go on Facebook, and I was looking at that. There's a girl on Facebook that has her bare behind showing, these big buttocks. She's got the G-straps or whatever on. You know, this is a black person, and it bothers me that our people can disrespect themselves and others the way they do.
Well, if you don't respect yourself, you surely can't expect others to respect you.
Exactly.
I cannot love your child more than you do.
Exactly.
I'm going to let you guys get back to your show. You only got a few minutes left.
We're going to be on again this evening at 6:30 Eastern Time because not everybody could make it on this show at this time. So we're going to have it later on at 6:30 as well. So please join us because what you're talking about is right up my alley, is right up our alley. We need to make changes. And whether it be the changes that you spoke of, the changes that we spoke of, whatever, we need to start doing something about it. You know, we are the government. The people are the government. And if the people are not going
you're
to
you're absolutely
act,
right.
We
you're
can't
absolutely
complain.
Right.
Amen.
We can't complain. If we can't speak out, if we can't come together, if we can't do these things, we're just let the people, the few people that are running the country, do as they're doing. And look at what's happening to this country now. We're in a deficit or inflation. We've got a lot of crime on the rise. We got all this money's going over to other countries. We're getting involved in business we shouldn't get involved in. I can see help in other countries, but not putting everything into other countries and letting your own country go. This is my belief.
You're absolutely right, man. You have never spoken no more truth. But I'm going to let you get back to your show, and I wish you good luck. And, you know, that's the only thing I know to do. Thank you very much.
Please join us again, sir.
Yes, please.
I will. Thank you.
We need people like you joining us. We need people like you joining us. People that are not afraid to speak out and talk. And I'll tell you, going back to when we remember, we were taught Mr., Mrs., we couldn't call anybody by first name. When it was holiday time, we bought for the postman, we bought for the bus driver, we bought for the school teacher. As little money as we had, we did. We had that respect being brought up to not judge people, especially those who were less fortunate or those. You know, I used to ask for seconds when we eat. My father used to say, if you eat it, you got to finish it because there's so many people in other countries that have no food. So I pray for those people to this day, night and morning, that God will feed and clothe and shelter our brothers and sisters worldwide who don't have what we have. This country's been blessed, but it doesn't know how to.
I used to tell my kids, I said, eat all your food because people in Chicago are starving. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, baby.
Have a great day.
You know, that's what we need, people like him to come on because he's
not afraid to say what he wants to say.
Exactly. So I'm hoping that we will get others like him on talking about these. You know, we have to do something about it, and we are the government. People forget.
Yes, we are.
People forget. But Tara,
and with our,
I don't know if you finished.
Commander
in
chief saying we're not having inflation. I don't know where the heck his head is.
Oh, we're having inflation, believe me. And now they're talking about messing with our Social Security and our Medicare retirement pays.
That's
and
not
all.
Going to happen.
I don't know. It seems like a lot of things are happening that people at one time would say it never will happen. But it's happening.
We need to pray.
Yeah. I think
and
that's
with
what
that, I will see you tonight, and angels be with everyone.
And we are now going to end this episode. Please join us, everyone, at 6:30 p.m. this evening, Eastern Daylight Time. Come and join us. Speak whatever it is, whether you agree with us, whether you don't, whether you want to join, whether you want to get more information, whether you want to be a part of it. Because we need resources. We need people to help with the research in all the states to get the names, addresses, telephone numbers, and emails of all the people we're going to be reaching out to and demanding and asking and challenging. So please join us tonight again at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Dorothy, again, I want to thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. And we will see you later on this evening.
Yes. Thank you. Oh. Love everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.